Welcome back to Troubled, a podcast by survivors of institutional abuse for survivors and the general public, with the intent of exposing and blowing open the open secret of institutionalized child abuse in the U.S. from assimilation through the cult-spawned tough love industry to today. Thank you for joining us. We wanted to make sure that you had the opportunity to meet some members of NYRA, the National Youth Rights Association, before the upcoming conference this week, which we will be at. We're doing the Troubled Teen Industry panel with Amanda Householder from Exposing Circle of Hope and Gabriel Gonzalez from the Freedom Village Experience, as well as Oregon State Senator Sarah Gelser. So there are some links in this show's notes. Make sure you go register for that. And here we go. No trigger warnings really on this episode. So enjoy. All right. Thank you, Marjan Jang, for coming on the show, and Brian Connor from NYRA. Marjan, can you just briefly introduce yourself to our audience?
Well, sure, Amanda. Well, my name is Marjan. I use they, them pronouns, and I am the president of NYRA, National Youth Rights Association. And well, I'm 19 years old, so I guess I still count as a teen,
wow.
Sort of, no. But I am a sophomore at Haverford College, which is a liberal arts college near Philadelphia. And so I got interested in youth rights, I think, from the angle of student rights at first, because when I was in high school, I advocated for student agency or student voice. Actually, I was an high school ambassador, with the organization, the nonprofit Student Voice. I was in the pilot program of the high school ambassadors program. And other things got me involved in going to school board meetings and advocating for getting young people, getting students involved in school decision making. And so that's what I did in high school. And then towards the end of my senior year in high school, I saw this social media post about NYRA opening applications for being on its board. And so I applied and I got on the board of NYRA, and starting in July, I've been the president.
Wow. Talk about a fast track. Respect. Seriously. So Brian, what about you? What's your background? How did you get involved in NYRA?
Yeah. So my name's Brian, by the way. I use he, him, or they, them pronouns. And I first got passionate about youth rights when I saw a series of presentations at my high school for this class I wasn't in about the student-led social movements of the 60s. It was early in my sophomore year, pretty close to exactly, 6 years ago it would be now. It was basically presentations about just how kind of everything sucks and how just all these other forms of systemic oppression and stuff, these are all things which I wasn't totally aware of, just how bad things were really before these. This opened my mind, but it also focused on how all of these forms of oppression really centered on the oppression of young people and how that's kind of at the root of all of these other systemic issues. And then since then, I just kind of looked for ways to get involved with youth rights. And around the time I graduated high school, I got involved with NYRA. I've just been with them the past 3 years, and I'm on the board of directors.
Well, I have to say that it's quite impressive, and it's a great fast track to get involved in social justice in high school. You know, I was involved in Amnesty International as my school rep and went on to state training. But what's fun for me is within a year, I was in a lockup facility. So talking to people who are running an organization called National Youth Rights Association, it's kind of ironic and not so funny. So just to give us a brief overview, what are these youth rights? Do they exist in America, and where do they come from?
Well, yes. Well, youth rights, to in one well in one respect, youth rights are really just human rights. They're the rights of like being able to like determine yourself and like be who you are, express yourself, and like have your own agency, autonomy to make decisions for yourself and to be respected generally. And so like in the sense of like rights as in something that like you inherently have, or like things that you like just like ought to be respected in you, like, well, young people do have like those rights. Young people are human. Like everyone begins young, and I mean there's no reason to like be disrespected for like what like so like a significant portion of your life, like almost maybe like a fifth of your life or something. I don't know. But then like in the United States, and really, I guess I think like generally, like in the like throughout the globe actually, and partly due to industrialization and colonization actually, youth rights are often not respected. Like youth have their rights denied, in ways such as through like schooling, say like schools that like impose a curriculum like very much like a factory like system, like in the United States, the public schools like having developed out of the Industrial Revolution, modeled after factories to like stamp out like perfect factory workers out of students who begin as like very enthusiastic and curious and creative people, and then get that like stomped out of them. And so like in because like well so the institution of schools, like one thing that's like totally like very like disregarding it disregards like the rights of young people, but also in many ways the institution of like the nuclear family too, and its interactions with like commercialized culture in the United States, like the emphasis on like the nuclear family and on like this like creation of a particular like a youth culture, things that are sold specifically to young people, toys and like other things that like solidify a separation between the lives of like young folks and the lives of older folks, totally separate from like the rest of their community, keeping young people disengaged from like the rest of the community, which like naturally people be integrated into community and contribute. So I mean that was a lot. There's a lot to like explore with the like, youth rights and yeah, like I mean the neglect of like youth rights in society, in US society, like through like systemic ageism, like ageism is a form of systemic oppression, and it's something that we don't really talk about that often. Not like, I mean, we talk about like racism, we talk about sexism, we talk about homophobia, transphobia, xenophobia, ableism, etc. And all of those forms of systemic oppression do intersect with ageism. But then, like, what is like a very important thing that like oftentimes underlies all of those other forms of oppression, especially say when parents, for example, might themselves not recognize the rights of their children to, for example, to like be like if their child is queer and like the parents don't accept that, and that's I mean that's where like parents oftentimes are a source of toxic ageism.
That was a lot to unpack. I'm sure you personally deal with a lot of toxic ageism
when you open with, I'm the president of this nonprofit and I'm 19 years old. Yes.
Yes. And so like, yeah, like some, I think, so some people will respond with like, oh, well, that can't be, or something like that. Like you, like young people should just be like kids. I don't know, like that sort of expectation. But then also there are other people who will think like, oh, so you're like the special young person who like can do these, like these unexpected things, that like these cool things, like creating like this idea that like there are only certain people who like deserve certain like rights to like fully express their capabilities and exercise like their like what they, yeah, their abilities. And so like I think, for example, in school, in my school district, like there was a gifted program and I was in the gifted program, but like I noticed, because I was in it and like noticing the differences between how like that class was like focused on creativity a little bit more. I mean, not like, obviously not like a perfect thing because it's still within school, but like at least it had more like creative activity to it. And like the regular classes would be much more like rote memorization and stuff. And I would think, why is it that only certain people are judged to deserve this sort of learning, or deserve agency? So like, oftentimes ageism is in this idea of like only certain young people might deserve rights. Like there's some sort of condition, like you have to conform to like the standards of school or the standards of society in some way. And if you deviate from that, or if your gifts are just somewhere else that's not recognized by school, for example, you're not going to have those rights. And that's just cruel.
So, Marjan, that all sounds great. But also, we do literally live in a country where our constitution designates certain people as 3/5 of a person with their rights, other people as savages, and those with she, her pronouns don't even exist in the constitution. So foundationally, per your point, yeah, like it's systemically oppressive to anyone who doesn't fit into a specific class or demographic. But something that you mentioned that I do want to focus in on. So NYRA does specific campaigns to raise awareness and to advocate for youth rights. And one of them that Brian had been telling me about that I'm completely ignorant. I don't understand any of this. Brian, what's up with this? It's not school choice. It's not unschooling. What is this?
Oh yeah. So, unschooling does fall under this. But okay. Yeah, one thing that NYRA supports is self-directed education. So that's either unschooling, which is students, educating themselves outside of the school system, or schools where students have democratic control, or something kind of in between called self-directed learning centers, which is sort of a hybrid of being in school and being at home educating yourself, and they can take all kind of forms, and really the possibilities there are endless.
Okay, so this is basically to combat this institutionalized, indoctrinated education that Marjan was just speaking of, yes?
Right, exactly. So yeah, the movement for self-directed education has been growing in response to our modern school system expanding since the middle of the 1800s, basically. It's kind of run parallel to that, and has been very focused on especially empowering low-income students and developing more of a class consciousness and more solidarity among low-income students than the conventional education system?
So for someone like me, and I mean, I have a 14-year-old daughter who I pulled out of regular programs. She's been virtual for a minute, but she's in a charter school. It's a international baccalaureate program that uplifts school systems. And I'm totally ignorant as to like all my options, apparently. How would someone start to get into, like, to educate themselves? Like, how would we start?
Right. So there were a whole lot of resources to help you get started. We've actually been doing a series on that recently on our Instagram. You can check us out at Youth Rights on Instagram. We've been also been doing the same posts on Twitter and Facebook in case you don't have Instagram. These sort of point people towards different resources and websites and information about how you can get involved with educating yourself, because there were really a whole lot of options that, yeah, you just kind of don't hear about because the people who kind of run everything just like want to keep it under wraps, that there are better alternatives to, spending 7 hours a day for the first 18 years of your life doing stuff that you really didn't choose to do.
And is the system that we currently have here in the U.S., is this an American phenomenon, or is this something, you said this started in the 1800s, did this happen all over the world? Is this still happening all over the world, or is there a better paradigm?
Right. So the American education system was largely based on the Prussian education system, which was built in the late 1700s by the very imperialist and nationalistic Prussian Empire, who basically designed schools as we currently think of them as a way to indoctrinate the lower classes in their country and keep them from rising up. And America developed the system. We brought it over. The first person who brought it over was a Massachusetts school board director named Horace Mann, who visited Prussia in the 1840s. And brought it here basically as a way to teach youth to conform to the political and business hierarchy that was developing here. And then it was spread throughout the country by the robber barons, basically, like the big push to have compulsory education everywhere was mostly led by Rockefeller and Carnegie. So our whole education system is like very clearly designed by the elites. Well, the student-directed education movement, which the first democratic schools, I guess is the best way to look at the start of it, because really students educating themselves has been happening for like all of history. Like before we had schools, that's just like how people learned, is through actually experiencing. But the first democratic schools were, the first democratic school was started by Francisco Ferrer-Guardia in around 1900 in Catalonia. And that was, and he was later beheaded for sedition a few years later for, building an alternative to this factory model school system that had been spreading around the world at that point.
Okay. I didn't know we were going to fall down that rabbit hole, Brian. I could listen to you talk for hours, but also, like, my mind is blown. So basically what you're saying is, like, there's no room for negotiation. The system was literally designed to subdue a peasant class, if you will. It's completely set up to be systemically oppressive from get.
Right. Like, you don't learn negotiation in school. I mean, you learn to, like, do what the teacher tells you to and sit in your seat. You can't, like, get up and move around the classroom. You can't decide what you learn. So it's the main lesson that people, I mean, I don't think I remember, like, any of the content from elementary school. Like, if I remember stuff I, like, learned on my own around that time, but, like, I don't remember what I learned in, like, fourth grade history class. But the lesson that does sink in is that you need to obey authority.
Okay. I don't know about you guys, but I was really anti that lesson of obeying authority when I was in the education system. Were you guys both educated in public education system? I know that, Marjan, you said you were in TAG, and mostly I'm used to that being through the public education system. Yeah. Yeah. Brian, you as well?
Mm-hmm. I was until sixth grade, where I transferred to a not a fully democratic school, but a very progressive school that had like really great classes that we had a lot of freedom in choosing, and was that the founder of that school had actually visited the Summerhill School, which is one of the most influential democratic schools in England, and that's still around also. So the school's philosophy and stuff was a lot based on that. So that's, yeah, I feel like why, I mean, how I ended up learning to like think for myself and stuff was by the fact that I managed to get out I mean, like, most private schools aren't necessarily much better. Like, a lot of them are even worse than public schools. So just the way I was out to be able to get out of the way, the whole like public private school system before I was like totally indoctrinated.
Okay, so to avoid further indoctrination, so what would be the ultimate goal? Like, what would be the ultimate goal if, like, everybody educates themselves about that and makes these choices? Is it possible that we could just get rid of this oppressive system completely, the public and maybe the privates that are following the same kind of structures? Are you guys abolitionists, is what I'm asking?
Yes, I definitely, I call myself an abolitionist because if, students have control over all of that, then the whole line we draw between public and private school wouldn't really be there anymore. It would just be like you can educate yourself however you want to, and there can be places that you can go to like meet up with other people or take lessons from people or whatever it is you want to do, or just all of the, and really it should be a lifelong process. Like So people of any age should be able to learn however they want to learn, instead of sending people to sit in classrooms for 18 years and then telling them like, oh, you're an adult now, you need to stop learning. Like, that just encourages people to be closed-minded once they grow up and like stop listening to new ideas.
Yeah, but I mean, ignorance is definitely a really good way to like quell a potential awakening of a population like this. So, Marjan, like, how do people get involved? Like, you had this serendipitous moment where you saw a post and were recruited by the powers that be to NYRA. But if someone were to be hearing what you guys are talking about, and check you out on your website and be like, these guys, like, I have to be with them. Like, this is my crew. This is the Avengers team that I was always meant to join. How can they help you? How can they get involved?
I think if you take a look at our website, which is youthrights.org, we have a bunch of different pages. We have a sign up to volunteer page, which you can fill out the form. And then I think Brian actually has been the one who's been dealing with the volunteer requests, and so we'll get you involved. You can share like what you're interested in, whether it's like particular issues related to youth rights, or if you have a particular skill that you want to offer, if you want to write like blog posts, if you want to deal with social media, if you want to help fundraise or like other stuff. It's like whatever you imagine, like maybe, yeah, we can perhaps make use of it. And so like that's one way, you can get involved, like getting directly involved in like the NYRA national work, I guess. But we also have another avenue of getting involved with NYRA called NYRA Notes. So this is kind of like our version of like chapters or like local branches of NYRA, where like you can, well, there's another, the form on their website called Ignite a Node. Like if you go to that portion of the website, there'll be another form, and you can like sign up to get support to like, either like you can like start a campaign, in your local area for like, something related to youth rights, like, or it's like lowering the voting age or fighting some like an instance of like age discrimination or like other things. Maybe there's a particular particular law that like you want to change. So like campaigns like that, you can like, if you're interested in like doing some campaign like that, you can submit our Ignite a Node form and we can support you in organizing that campaign and also connect you with other youth rights activists in the United States. So that's why it's called like a NARA node, like a node within a network of youth rights activists.
Dig it. We definitely need more organizations. Speaking of which, something I'm really excited about that you guys are doing is this NYRA conference coming up in October. So can you just give people a little bit of a like preview of what they should expect from the conference coming up?
Oh, yes. So the conference is actually next week. It'll be Friday, October 2nd to Sunday, October 4th. So it's like Friday evening, goes through the weekends to kind of work better for people's schedules. And so we have a whole lot of different events. We have some like cool speakers who are going to they have their own sessions. For example, we have Akilah S. Richards, who is a podcaster herself about unschooling, and she's also a unschooling parent herself and just recently published a book called what's the book called? Do you remember?
Raising Free People.
It's called Raising Free People. Okay, yeah, that's her organization too, I believe. But yes, Raising Free People. We have her and like Akilah is going to give a talk on unschooling as a practice of liberation for BIPOC. And we also have, we have speakers like her, and we also have panels where we'll have like multiple people in a session, one of us at NYRA will be like facilitating the panel. We have panels on the first one is self-directed education, and then there's a panel on the troubled teen industry where Miranda is actually going to be on it. We also, the third panel is a panel each day. The third panel is about lowering the voting age. We have a bunch of really, really cool people on those as well, including like I'm facilitating the voting age panel, and I know I'm really excited to be talking with Rose Strauss from Sunrise Movement. It was called Young and Naive by like the PA the candidate for governor some years ago. Called Young and Naive for like questioning what the candidate was doing with like billions of dollars going to like oil and gas. And also Tay Anderson, who is a very young a school board director in Denver, Colorado. So those people are going to be on the voting age panel and really excited. I'm really excited to be facilitating that conversation with them. We also have some NYRA led sessions, including something really cool. Two things that I think are just like really, really cool, because you get, as a attendee of the conference, you get to be involved yourself, like more like participate in something. So the first thing is speed dating, which is actually a term I got from this new music conference that I participated in, speed dating, where you'll be paired up with like other people who attend that session, and you can yeah, you get to meet other people who are like youth rights activists themselves, so like interested in different things and like perhaps make some creative connections. And then the final event of the conference actually will be this share and ask event where, well, you'll be able to sign up during the conference to either like you can present, like maybe for example, present a project that you're working on and maybe you want some like help or like some volunteers for. You can present like an idea that you have that like you like want to like want like maybe some support and like figuring that out and realizing it. You can share something that you like a service that you offer, a product that you make, or like just something that's like a skill that you have, that like other people might make use of, or like, yeah, like a bunch of things you can present. And in particular, we are encouraging young people who attend the conference to like participate and like share their talents, and just to kind of invert the hierarchy, invert the expectation that it's like the older people who teach the young people. In that session, we hope that there will be young people who teach the older people some things. So that's kind of a summary of like what's going to happen at the conference next week.
I'm genuinely way more excited now. I just want to say that. So like, well done. Yeah, I'm in. Okay, Brian, speaking of now, I didn't know it was, you know, young people, you know, mind melding us. Who is the conference for? Like, who should be interested in signing up for this?
I mean, it's really for everyone who's interested in youth rights in some way. I mean, we really want to, the main thing that we want to get across with this conference is just the idea that it's a movement. And it's, not just any individual issue. It's, a whole form of systemic oppression we're fighting, and that really takes people of all ages and abilities and everything to make that fight happen. So, yeah, we welcome anyone who's interested to the movement.
Well, and quick question about that, because our audience isn't necessarily all in the U.S. I mentioned this to them privately earlier, but I'm thrilled every time, like, we go a shot down and get more of a global audience. So is this something that's relevant to our global audience as well, or is this just for like the US space?
I think it's definitely relevant to a global audience. I mean, there might be particular, like when perhaps like some of our speakers and like, well, the panel, like for example, the voting age panel might be more focused on the voting age like movement in the United States. But like the concept of youth rights applies like globally, and like, yeah, the issues are there. I mean, there's some like peculiarities to like each country, but like, yeah, generally, I mean, in recent years, like we've generally been seeing like a youth uprising, concerning like various like social justice issues, especially like, for example, with like climate justice, and that's really arises because like young people are shut out from politics and from like fully participating in society like throughout the globe. And so there is ageism throughout the globe, and there's this need for youth rights movements globally.
Awesome. Okay. Is there anything else that either of you wanted to make sure that anyone's aware of that might be listening?
Let's see. So there, I'll be facilitating the panel on the troubled teen industry, which, you will be on, and then some other folks who I think have also, or some of them have appeared on the show as well. So it's going to have Wayne Basin, who's one of the biggest advocates against conversion therapy, Amanda Householder from Exposing Circle of Hope, Oregon State Senator Sarah Gelser, Shane Neumeier, who's a lawyer and disability rights advocate in Massachusetts, and Gabriel Gonzalez, who is one of the main people helping build the coalition around the issue.
Yeah, Gabe's with the Freedom Village Experience. So Freedom Village was out in New York, and the Family School and Freedom Village work pretty heavily together. So I'm pretty stoked that 50% of the panel are like my homies. So it'll be great. I'm very excited. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and the other thing I just want to mention is that, like, for the conference, the tickets, you can get them on Eventbrite at ageofyouth.eventbrite.com, and tickets are by donation, so you can get them for free if you really really need it. But like we encourage you to donate as much or as little as you're willing and able to increase like accessibility financially. So we really encourage like people from all walks of life to participate in our conference, including young people themselves, including parents, including people who work with young people in any way, including people who are just interested in the plight of young folks, like anyone. Like we all began young, as I said before. We all begin young, and we all have we all really should be interested in youth rights issues.
I agree. It's a shame that we aren't, but hopefully after this conference, maybe you can ignite, that note, across the world. Hopefully. I believe in you guys, and this is really exciting. I'm hoping this is an annual highlight for all of us moving forward.
Yes, I hope so too.
Well, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us. And, I look forward to seeing you next week.
Yeah. See you.
Thank you for tuning in. I hope that you will register for the Age of Youth and join us next week again with my friends Amanda Householder, Gabriel Gonzalez, and our undercover hero, Senator Sarah Gelser. So make sure that you click the link in the show description and register for that. And please, you guys, if you haven't, please rate and leave a written review of the podcast and subscribe, because we have some really epic episodes that have been in the can for a minute, which are going to be coming out pretty soon. So we don't want you to miss that. And we don't want other people to miss it. So share the love. See you soon. Bye.